The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday Eve, that makes it Thursday, I guess, edition. Welcome to it.
Happy days. Crudy, thank you, Rich, working aboard our fair audience. Happy Friday Eve to us all. We can call us, join the political party at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, great news. There has been a prisoner exchange, and three Americans have been released, and Joe Biden apparently made this deal. Reportedly, hours before relinquishing the candidacy, the nomination of the Democratic Party, he made this deal on the same day he chose to withdraw from the presidency. Maybe
deal. You give up, you know, the political win, Crudy. I think it says so much more about President Joe Biden. Well done.
And it is kind of a BFD. Evan Gershkovich, others freed by Russia in landmark prisoner swap. The United States, Russia, and Germany, and four other countries swapped at least two dozen people today in the largest prisoner exchange since the height of the Cold War. Those released included American journalist Evan Gershkovich, former Marine Paul Whelan, Russian dissidents, and others from the United States, Germany, Poland, Slovenia, Norway, Russia, and Belarus. And my understanding, Dom, they're in American custody. They are safe at this point, these Americans. And last I saw, there was a picture of them in Turkey in a airport lounge. But the president, and I'm talking about Joe Biden in this case, the president had plenty of things to say. He gave statements from the White House. He took questions today, and he ended on a high note, Dom, and I appreciate this high note. So, Rich, with your cooperation and assistance, let's play for the audience. This a very important day. Let's play President Joe Biden addressing it. Cut number one, please.
It's an incredible relief for all the family members gathered here. It's a relief to the friends and colleagues all across the country who've been praying for this day for a long time.
More from the president. Cut to President Joe Biden.
For anyone who questions whether allies matter, they do. They matter. And today is a powerful example of why it's vital to have friends in this world.
The prisoner swap included political prisoners, according to Biden. Cut three.
It says a lot about the United States that we work relentlessly to free Americans who are unjustly held around the world. It also says a lot about us that this deal includes the release of Russian political prisoners. They stood up for democracy and human rights. Their own leaders threw them in prison. The United States helped secure their release as well.
And more from the president from the White House today, Joe Biden, on this historic prisoner swap.
Deals like this one come with tough calls, and there are never any guarantees. But there's nothing that matters more to me than protecting Americans at home and abroad.
And we've got one more from President Joe Biden. Actually, I think we've got two more, right? We've got one more. First, President Joe Biden describing the conversation with the prisoner families. Play for the people. Cut five, please.
Moments ago, the families and I were able to speak to them on the telephone from the Oval Office. They're out of Russia. Earlier today, they were flown to Turkey. And soon, they'll be wheels up on their way home to see their families.
Wheels up. I love that term. Wow. And then, before Joe Biden exited this press conference at the White House, he did take one question. And it was a question should have been right out of Peter Doocy's mouth, although I know it wasn't. But you've got this for the people, Rich. Let's hear the question and the president's response. And then as the network takes the coverage, they also had a comment about the president's response. Let's play it for the people, Rich.
President Trump has said repeatedly that he could have gotten the hostages out without giving anything in exchange. What do you say to that? What do you say to President Trump now, former president?
Why didn't he do it as president?
Sir, what did you say?
And he grinned, and he walked out,
Tom. What they call a mic drop moment at the end there. Why didn't he do it when he was president? What a historic moment. Watching and listening, President.
So, almost immediately today, Dom, I heard Donald Trump on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. He called in to Clay and Buck. And, you know, of course, he says this is a terrible deal. It's a terrible deal. You know, because some concession was made to the Russians. And he wouldn't have made any concessions because, you know, Putin never made any concessions to Putin. And I'm thinking, I saw you never. In Helsinki, man.
You're right, man. Come
it was
on.
Nearly profane what you did to the man on the international stage. And by the way, if you wonder, Gershkovich has been in custody in Russia for about a year. But the former Marine, Whalen, it's been over 5 years. He was captured during Trump's presidency. So as Trump talks a big game, literally, President Joe Biden says, then why didn't he do it when he was president? And it stings because it's true.
It is true. A huge deal. Nothing like this since the Cold War. Today's swap of 24 prisoners surpassed a deal involving 14 people that was struck in 2010. 24 prisoners, six countries plus Turkey involved. According to the AP, the Biden administration has now brought home more than 70 Americans detained in other countries as part of deals that have required the U.S. to give up a broad array of convicted criminals, including for drug and weapons offenses. You heard Joe, bring them home. And two, you know, the Republicans to MAGA. Wasn't Trump out there saying, oh, I'll bring him home. I'll make it happen.
Only well, now I guess I can make it
only
happen.
And apparently this deal has been in the works for a couple of years. And Navalny, the Russian dissident who was murdered, was originally supposed to be part of it as well. But obviously that did not happen.
Tough calls. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, talked about the tough call. The tough part of that is a Russian killer was included in this exchange, and he had been captured by the Germans, multinational exchange here. It reminds me of like the trading deadline in baseball when they make like a 7-player deal with players to be named later and all that kind of stuff.
Not nearly as fun, but certainly joyous for those families.
Certainly joyous for the families and a major accomplishment. You know, it's funny, Rep. Nancy Mace today, you know, one of the many MAGAs out there talking trash about the president, Joe Biden. Joe Biden's been MIA, she claimed. And 3 minutes later, this news dropped. And I'm just thinking, that didn't age well.
No, that did not age well. Not at all. Not at all.
Do you think the Republicans would be celebratory on behalf of these now return prisoners? Do you think they'd be happy for the American people? Hell to the no is the answer, man. I heard your girl, Vicky McKenna, saying this is the worst deal ever brokered in American history, and Trump's already out there trashing it.
Oh, yeah. Here's what Trump had to say. Now, let's see if you can tell what he didn't say. We never make good deals at anything, but especially hostage swaps. Our quote-unquote negotiators are always an embarrassment to us. I got back many hostages and gave the opposing country nothing and never any cash. To do so is bad precedent for the future. That's the way it should be, or this situation will get worse and worse. They are extorting the United States of America. They're calling the trade complex. That's so nobody can figure out how bad it is. Not welcome home to our fellow citizens. And
he didn't acknowledge any of the prisoners by name.
Oh, a victory for diplomacy, right? I mean, there's always tough calls to be made. Certainly. President said that again. And that's always going to be the case in these kinds of situations. But I guarantee you, those family members are happy that they're home, even if Trump lost this particular political hammer. Where is the love for the citizens, man? Aren't you happy they're home? Can you even acknowledge it? Of course he cannot, because to do so would give some positive remarks about the current administration, even though that's not who he's running against. It's just terrible. He claims to be this big patriot, but when people are actually released and coming home, he can't muster up the courage to actually say something nice about them.
Interesting, last night, not only did Trump apparently crap the bed and roll in it at the National Association of Black Journalists, a standard, never crap the bed.
Never,
but Trump
ever did.
By the admission of righty commentators, this was a god-awful performance. But let's
Scott
not forget.
Jennings, yes, Scott Jennings said that.
That was not his only appearance last night. He also had a little rally in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, right down the road from the prior shooting at Trump, right? And during his campaign rally in Harrisburg, Trump relived the moments he would-be assassin's bullet nearly missed him. While speaking in Butler earlier in the month, Trump held a moment of silence for Corey Comparatore, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing the name, the former fire chief killed during the rally, but not without adding his flavor of commentary. Here's what he said. But you know, Corey's wife said, I'd rather have my husband. Isn't that good? I know a lot of wives that would not say that. Sorry. You mean Melania? I think you're expressing a little too much about your own marriage, sir. You say Melania must like you or love you because she's so upset she can't talk about it.
I'm sure, which is nice.
I think she's still in mourning for what could have been. I'm just saying. Some
what
wives.
A terrible thing to say. About what? What? I mean, for real. You really, man? This woman, she lost her husband, and this is the love and compassion you can muster?
Yeah, some women want to kill their husbands. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Melania, you know, are you listening?
What? This is just so unfit for everything.
I bet he's got a clause in the prenup just to try and keep himself from taking a bullet from the missus. You know what I'm saying? I think you might. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. More of your phone calls, 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. We're going to get to your calls shortly. Be patient. 844-967-2789.
Dom, I want to give a little more coverage on this historic prisoner swap. The eventual prisoner swap that saw Gershkovich and Whalen returned to the U.S. took place 5 months after the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny in the Arctic prison camp, despite talks to get him released involving both the U.S. and Germany. And two allies continued working on a deal for other prisoners up until Biden's surprise announcement, according to the Wall Street Journal. Here's what they said. President Biden, about an hour before he notified the world he was dropping out of the presidential race on July 21st, called the Prime Minister of Slovenia, whose country was contributing two convicted Russian spies to the swap, to secure the pardon necessary for the deal to proceed. CIA Director William Burns traveled to Turkey last week to meet his counterpart there and finalize the logistics of the swap. That's where his mind was before he dropped out of the presidential race.
Yeah.
And as people were pressing him, remember it was all about the polls and the fact that Joe Biden was perhaps a drag on the Democratic Party. Pardon me. But that's where his mind was. Securing the release of Americans an hour before he declared he was dropping out of the presidential race. And in retrospect, I mean, what important moments, what the gravity of the decisions he was making in real time, dude. I admire him more for this. Knowing this news now, especially maybe this was
and what we know. Yeah.
Part of the delay in him choosing to drop out of the presidential race. Maybe he had a big deal he was working out. And only today do we find out about it.
And to his point about having friends, obviously he had that there are other countries involved. And I did hear him, the president, reference the German chancellor, because that was, you know, that was a big fish. That assassin that that Germany had caught and imprisoned, he was personally called by the president, to my understanding, and acquiesced to it. So yeah, it does matter. You know, relationships, as the president said, those things matter.
According to this reporting, a breakthrough in the negotiations came in February. This has been going on for months, folks. When German Chancellor Olaf Scholz met with the president, that's Joe Biden, in the Oval Office, and they discussed a potential offer to Russia that would have included Krasikov, that's the Russian assassin, Waylon, Gerskovich, and Navalny. I believe Krasikov is the assassin they wanted back. "For you, I will do this," Scholz told Biden, according to senior administration officials. Maybe that's some of the friendship he's talking about.
Right.
Now, Navalny died 7 days later under mysterious circumstances. I would suspect he was murdered, Dom. And the offer collapsed before it was presented to Moscow. But Vice President Kamala Harris met privately with Scholz at a conference in Munich to stress the importance of releasing, again, this Russian assassin, a convicted Krasikov. And she met with Robert Golob, the prime minister of Slovenia, to continue the negotiations. So the vice president also involved in putting this deal to bed. The negotiations reportedly continued into the summer before Biden finalized the deal. He then released a statement announcing he would not seek re-election and then endorsed his vice president for the Democratic nomination. Joe's had a little busier summer than we were aware.
Yeah, 11 days ago. Right.
844-967-2789. And of course, Donald Trump's claiming, "I would have done it better. I would have given no concessions because, you know, I got such a great relationship with Putin." Don't believe it for a minute. 844-967-2789. When people start asking you, "Can you help me? What are some of the accomplishments of Vice President Kamala Harris?" Well, apparently she was instrumental in negotiating the release of these prisoners from Russia. She helped put this deal to bed. She personally met with the prime minister. She personally got involved. She went to Munich to make this deal. What did Trump do? Oh, yeah. Nothing. 844-967-2789. Jack, you've been very patient. Thank you. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jack.
Thank you. Yeah, it seems that the surrogates for Trump are calling Kamala Harris not competent, not prepared for the presidency. Well, she's had 3.5, almost 4 years now of essentially working as an understudy to Joe Biden, who is phenomenal on foreign policy, I personally think, regardless of, you know, whether you agree with that or not. But she's had a lot of time to learn that job from somebody who is clearly a political master. To say she is not competent is just absolutely outrageous.
What are they supposed to say, Jack? She's so clearly better than our crazy guy. I mean, what are they supposed to say about her? I wouldn't make the racially tinged and the misogynistic attacks. I might go after policy. But when she is so much better than the candidate that they've galvanized around, you better tear her down, because your guy's no good, Jack.
Yeah, well, he's not my guy, by the way.
No, I know.
I hear what you're saying.
Clearly, Jack, we know you to be a sensible caller. He's not your guy.
anyway, I volunteer with a couple of theater companies, and I see a lot of plays, and I see a lot of understudies with only a few weeks of experience going on and doing an incredibly good job. She will do an incredibly good job when she gets elected. I'm confident of that. Meantime, virtually everybody except Trump's relatives, whoever was in his White House, has stated how incompetent and crazy he is. Mm-hmm. And it's like I think it was Joseph Goebbels, who was Hitler's minister of propaganda, said something like, accuse the other side of that of which you are guilty. And boy, they're sure doing that.
Absolutely. I hear JD.
Now we just call it gaslighting, Jack, and they do it all the time. And it's not just the capabilities of Kamala Harris. I fully expect she'll bring together a competent team that are, you know, more than just her son-in-law and some sycophants.
You know, I understand J.D. Vance been the understudy in Summerstock. You know the play? Taming of the Shrew. Maybe you're unfamiliar. Shakespeare. Look him up. Kind of a big deal. Like us.
I heard. He wrote some books.
More Devil's Advocates. I think it was mostly plays.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. We'll take your calls in just a moment, 844-967-2789. I'll be monitoring the text line because someone's got to do it. But Dom, there's only one logical conclusion on this prisoner swap today. It's a testament to Trump's strength. Yeah. That's what his vice presidential candidate has said in a statement, Dom. Senator J.D. Vance, Republican from Ohio, suggested today that the fear of a second Trump administration motivated Russia to agree with the historic prison swap with you, prisoner swap with the U.S. Vance, former President Trump's 2024 running mate, called the prisoner exchange great news in an interview with CNN. We certainly want these Americans to come back home. It was ridiculous they were in prison to begin with. But we have to ask ourselves, where are they coming home? And I think it's because bad guys all over the world recognize Donald Trump's about to be back in office. So they're cleaning house. That's a good thing, and I think it's a testament to Donald Trump's strength. Wow!
I didn't know you could sycophant so much. That's some serious sycophancing going on there, baby.
Months-long multinational negotiations.
Months-long? Years-long, dude.
Thank God for Trump. That's all I've got to say. 844-967-2789. L.A. Tom, welcome back. How's it going on the leftist coast?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. First off, guys, no radio rules. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that. I just hope that Joe Biden keeps on stealing the news cycle every day from here until the election. Because the best thing we can do is just not even just ignore Donald Trump. Because you know what? He doesn't answer a question. I wanted to know what you guys think about the idea from now on, whether it's a Democratic candidate or a Republican candidate, that when a journalist asks a question and they don't answer that question, can they say this interview is over? Because
to what end, Tom?
All they do, huh?
To what end? Sure, we could have had Ron Johnson on 25 times, and he wouldn't sufficiently ask the question as we posed it to him. Interview's over. Tom, come on, man. No,
well, you know what?
It is the journalist's job to continue to strive for the truth, not to give up after one no.
Well, I know, but like when that woman yesterday asked all those questions to Trump and he started going off in a totally different direction, she
She should have been able to say right there and then, sir, if you can't answer the questions, then this interview is over. And I think she would have got a lot more out of it. I also think that, you looked at Kamala's rally yesterday. What did she talk about? Child care tax credits, health care, taxing the billionaire class, rent control. That's what she talked about. He didn't even talk about anything that had to do with the topic or the questions that were being asked. And I think that we, the people, should be holding him more feet to the fire somehow, so it just doesn't become where he gets the news cycle. I just hope, like I said, Joe Biden gets the news cycle every day, because that will drive Donald Trump up a tree.
Tom, sorry, man, your phone's a little loud today. Sure, I don't dislike that plan, but I would rather see the Democratic nominee featured in the news cycle more often. And I think Joe probably has been standing back a bit. But when something like this happens, he is the president of the United States. He made this deal. And we now learn he made this deal before he pulled the trigger on stepping down as the presidential nominee of the Democratic Party, which to me adds more gravity to both decisions. But I still like to hear what Harris is doing each and every day. She's coming to Western Wisconsin next Wednesday, Dom. I'll be there. We'll talk about it all day long on the Devil's Advocates. But we still got some stuff to talk about today, Dom. Well,
but to L.A. Tom's point, thank you for the call, Tom. Appreciate it. I mean, it's certainly something that I kind of struggle with as well. We have this conversation. Is there anybody you wouldn't interview, right? That kind of
Me?
Thing. And when you do interview them, yeah, you and I have talked about this, and Ron Johnson specifically, but hell, is there any historical figure that you would not interview if you had the option to do it, right?
Well, there are some I wouldn't know. Care to interview, but there's no one I would refuse to interview.
But by the fact that you interview them, you give them a platform. There could be, terrible, terrible people giving them that platform, right?
Well, bring out the truth of their beliefs or their ideologies. It is my job as a journalist, as the questioner, as the interviewer, to help present that information to the people and let them judge. It's not your job as the interviewer to score points. It's your job to expose the truth.
But that's the problem. You present a guy like Donald Trump who was involved in insurrection and rape and et cetera, and give him this same platform and the same, what do you think about tax rates, sir? And you present him as the same platform as formerly Biden or now Kamala Harris, says, hey, these are two normal candidates. These are two normal times. And act like one is not just a biggest POS ever, and tried to overthrow the government, man. I mean, isn't it to Tom's point, some of the media's responsibility, our responsibility, to point out, hey, this is not normal. This is not the same. These two people are not the same. These two parties are not the same.
Well,
can
I would
do that.
I would certainly blame the moderators, the commentators, at the first CNN debate. I don't think they did a good job of demonstrating how different these two candidates are. And obviously Joe Biden faltered. And the next time we see candidates on the stage, it won't be Joe Biden and Trump. It'll probably be Kamala Harris and Trump, right? So we will see how the next debate runs. But Rachel Scott, I believe her name, from ABC.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Damn, I don't think you could do journalism much better than that. She asked very pointed questions. She set context. Very nasty question. I can't believe I've never been asked a nastier question. Well, we saw his reaction to being pinned down. Oh, you're very nasty. You're very nasty. I can't believe it. And then she asked a series of tough, difficult questions. The January 6th stuff, I'm pretty sure that was Scott that was trying to pin him down on whether or not he would pardon these people that attacked cops and did all the different stuff. She enumerated the actions. Oh, yeah, I'd pardon them. Only if they're innocent. Well, by virtue of the fact they're convicted, that's why they need the pardon. They're not innocent.
Oh, they're convicted in D.C. Hard to get a fair trial there. It's like New York.
And also, I'm not sure which one of the ladies, but it was.
As we talked about, now he's all over the front news. There's no bad press for Donald Trump. And now he's back in the second. Everyone's talking about his misogyny and his racism. Okay, Trump doesn't mind. His megas don't mind. I mean, certainly there's a few that would think he crapped the bed. But if his goal was to get back in the papers, man, he did it. And the journalist that interviewed him, I think she did a great job. But the fact that you're doing it, provided that platform. Some of those folks at the association resigned when this went down. So I'm just saying there's, and it's no right answer. Perhaps, you know, it depends on the journalist. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish. But, you know, giving nut jobs platforms. I mean, Charlie Manson, for crying out loud, right? You're going to give him a platform to continue on. I mean, this is basically what this feels like to me.
Well, as far as I know, Trump is not a known or convicted serial killer, nor has he directed the serial killing of the neighbors to this point. I mean, he had a hell of a COVID response, but, you know, I don't think
Manson, his cult dude. To attack the Capitol, bro. I mean, it may not be as fancy as the 60s and weird as it was in California with Charlie Manson, but he sent his family out. You know what I'm saying? Those cats went to the Capitol and they beat the hell out of those cops in order to what? Try to
what
stop
are you
the
trying to convince me that the there is someone I shouldn't interview in history, Dom? Because I have no fear of interview subjects. I've stated this many times. Don't be a wuss.
Even if you pin them down, she did a great job. I can't think of anything from the cuts I saw that Rachel Scott, I believe her name was yesterday, could have done any better. But his goal was accomplished. He's all over the newspapers. To what end?
For god-awful crap in the bed reasons, dude. If you think the American...
Did you learn anything you didn't already know about Donald Trump?
Did I learn anything? Yeah, I think I did. I learned that he is willing to go on a national stage in front of journalists and express racially insensitive views about his running mate. He hadn't done that publicly, right? He had never...
Well, I mean, not to the running mates, but certainly those folks coming over from Mexico. I'm sure it's a very nice people.
Hey, Dom, over there. You know, if you never ask the question, no one ever gives you an answer, and they never make any news. So unless you're saying we should all abdicate journalism, which I kind of feel like Tom said we should, I don't agree. It is our job to ask the questions. We can't make them answer the questions, but they are exposed by their failure to answer directly given questions. They're exposed by the crazy ranting stuff they do. Now, the average reasonable American person who's not drank the Kool-Aid or the Diet Dew or whatever it is that you got to do to join that cult, the average American person saw that and thought, this man crapped the bed. This man is racist. This man's a misogynist. Even the Republicans are asking him, can you just get on board with your own campaign and please stop doing this? There are people from the Republican side today saying Donald Trump is so bad he should step aside. Not Democrats, not guys like you and I, but Republicans are saying that based on his performance yesterday. I've never seen that before. So I would say if he wants to go and be that god awful on this fine radio program, hell to the yeah, I'd interview him. And if he didn't answer the questions the way they were posed to him, I would expect no less. I've never met a politician that answered the questions that were posed to him. Very few.
844-967-2789. Chris from Sun Prairie, you are next. Welcome, Chris. What do you got for us?
Hey, Chris.
Hi. Wow. Well, I kind of talked about Biden, but I like this subject. Yeah, I kind of agree with both of you. I think the reporter asked great questions. I think she asked the questions that everybody wanted to ask but maybe couldn't because they were on a network. And I think it was great getting him on the record saying the things he said. I hope the Democrats use them in every election ad they have. And I think that it just showed who he was. On Biden, I really worry, the original call is going to make, I really worry about what was happening with the president at the time. Like you said, he was making big decisions. And I still feel like he was bullied on the news by networks and people that have a lot of money. And I don't think that should happen. I don't think that should be something that should happen. I believe in freedom of speech, but I don't believe that that's what that was.
Well, Chris, what was I doing when I expressed that I thought that Joe Biden could no longer win the race? When I came on the radio program, I'm media just like any other media source. My platform may not be as big as ABC News, but I was calling for Joe Biden to step down. I was expressing my First Amendment opinion. I don't have any sway over that. But cumulatively, a lot of media outlets were doing the same thing at the same time. But we saw Joe Biden on... Chris, you were at the Barrymore Theater that night. You saw him. That guy wasn't going to win the election.
I disagree with you still.
The polls tell me otherwise, Chris. I mean, come on. He was so far underwater, he was not going to win.
After he was driven down and down and down for weeks in the polls by people in the news. I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think we're agreeing, Chris, but I appreciate the generosity of your sentiment. I don't think we made Joe into Joe. I mean, Joe is not as sharp as he once was. Joe's still a fine man. This is a major accomplishment. I'm not trying to denigrate Joe, but Joe was the only one to make this decision. And you could say he was pressured. Sure. That's how people make deals. There is pressure exerted all the time. There is friendship and pressure and cajoling. I mean, hell, Donald Trump's never done anything that wasn't a quid pro quo, man. But I'm just telling you, that is the nature of politics and life. People persuade us. I would never wear pants if my wife didn't make me. She is very persuasive. Well, you know, why would you wear pants? It's much more comfortable not to. She's a persuasive woman, though. She makes me wear them. Come back with us. 844-967-2789.
Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil Advocates Radio Show. Happy Friday Eve to us all. Going to go back to the phone shortly at 844-967-2789.
Based on the advice of L.A. Tom, and seemingly, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, Tom, but there were many aspects you seem to agree with him. It's all platforming Trump and it's all to the negative. Shouldn't even give the guy a platform. Shouldn't even ask the questions. Well, by that logic, should Kamala Harris debate him? Because isn't that just providing a platform for him to speak to the American people? Why even go to a debate? Why even accept the invitation against your opponent if it's just going to lift up his candidacy? I would disagree with that. I would say that's where you go and contrast. That's where you go and you hold him accountable. This will be her only opportunity, talking about Kamala Harris, to hold him accountable, much as the journalist tried to do yesterday. Dom, you were the first one to notice this. Raw Story is reporting. They had someone on the panel on MSNBC yesterday. I believe they were on the morning show. And the panelist said at one point, he even reached over to Titan ABC News, Rachel Scott's water bottle. And you're the first person that brought that to my attention, Dom. I was watching it. I didn't see it. You and this journalist saw it, which is just an expression of dominance. He couldn't help himself, she elaborated. It was almost as though he could not personally take the fact that these black women on stage had the platform. And this woman was being interviewed by Al Sharpton. Sharpton said, "They belong on that stage. You are a black and a woman. You shouldn't be questioning me." Right, Gay agreed. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think it's going to be like when black woman Kamala Harris debates against racist misogynist Donald Trump? Should she not debate him? Because she's going to, what, incite him to say terrible things? He's not going to answer the questions being posed by the debate host? Of course, he's not. Of course, he's going to say outlandish and crazy things. But shouldn't she want that contrast? And as journalist or talk show host, whatever the hell we are.
You're taking this conversation from what do journalists do to what does a campaign do? What does a opponent
do? Well, I would have brought it back around.
Well, those are two totally separate entities and
how do you get to the
missions?
How do you get, okay, fair enough. What's our mission as journalists? To get to the truth, right? To expose the truth, to report the truth as best we can.
Okay. And did you learn anything more about misogyny or racism from Donald Trump?
I learned something even when the guy screwed the cap on the water bottle, which I was unaware of. Until that was reported, until you told me, until I saw it in print, that is something new I learned about the guy. He is so freaking impulsive. He had to reach across stage and grab a water bottle and tighten the lid on so the woman couldn't get her water bottle accessible, right? Wow. That to me is a sign of character that I didn't know about this petty little pissant of a man before he went on that panel. And I would say the only fault I would have with Rachel Scott was Harris Faulkner sitting down there trying to cushion the blow of the questions for Donald Trump. You know, because I've tried to ask some questions in panel style, and it's more difficult when someone else can interrupt your flow where you want to take it. Because sometimes you got to set up the question. If Trump had any complaints about Rachel Scott, she didn't ease into it. She didn't wind into it. She laid out the facts and she hammered them with them. And he faltered. He crapped the bed. And that was absolutely newsworthy. And the American people need to know it. And even if that gets Trump back in the news cycle, so what? He was going to do something, say something, break something until he did. But he is the candidate of the Republican Party. It's not like no one's going to cover his ass. So I think it's very fair. If I was offered the interview, I would absolutely take it because I trust that I'm going to see through the BS and I'm not going to allow him to snowplow me for an hour straight. I would fully expect a handler to say, we're done here, and end the like interview early because he's getting asked tough questions.
844-967-2789. Joe from Madison. Welcome back, Joe. What do you got for us?
Well, speaking of pissants, I'd like to return to Eric Hovde, if I could.
Sure.
Our legacy boy from Laguna Beach. I just wanted to, I looked at the article that you mentioned from Urban Milwaukee, Bruce Murphy's article. Very, very good. And I'm curious, I wanted to just respond to Mr. Silvertongue from Laguna Beach. He was describing, he said that Harris advanced her career through political appointments and she can't string sentences together. Okay, let's talk about a woman, okay, a woman who has degrees in poli-sci and econ, who graduated law school, University of California, San Francisco, and then more importantly, was elected district attorney of San Francisco, and then was elected attorney general of, attorney general of California, and then elected Senator of California, understanding that this is California is 39 million people, our biggest state, fifth in the world, largest economy in the world. But yet she feels that she can't string sentences together and that these were all political appointments. An election is not a political appointment. She went out, presented herself to the voters, and they voted her in. But Clown Boy from Laguna Beach really can't seem to grasp that particular idea that a political appointment, when you appoint someone to be, you know, ambassador to Switzerland, is not the same as going out and running for election in the largest state in the union and making it. I don't know. I'm just embarrassed that this guy is from our city and from our state, and I wish he'd go back to Laguna Beach, which seems to be home for him, and leave us alone.
Well, I think there's a strong possibility that will happen because yeah. The only political appointments Eric Hovde is ever going to get are going to be bought and paid for. Maybe ambassador if he gave enough money to some elected official, right? But that doesn't make you an elected official. Kamala Harris, she's soon to be elected president of the United States. I strongly suspect. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. I would interview her as well. Would you give her a platform, Dom? Or are you afraid of her?
Absolutely.
Oh, sorry.
Afraid? It's got nothing to do with being afraid, man.
Playing favorites? What is it then?
Sure. Absolutely. Every time.
More Devils. We'll play favorites.